Hello and welcome to the Heal in Harmony podcast. I'm your host, Emmy Marie, a certified trauma-informed coach and complex trauma survivor. Along my own healing journey, I've found music to be both a supportive tool for processing emotions and a source of solace and comfort during tough times. On this show, I'm breaking down popular songs through the lens of trauma recovery, healing, and personal growth. So let's dive in. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Heal in Harmony podcast. Thank you so much for listening. This is our 13th episode, and what I am deciding will be the end of season one. Season one, as you may have noticed, was all entirely Taylor Swift songs, and yeah, I thought it would be perfect to wrap that up with number 13, as that is Taylor's favorite number, and she has a lot of references to it. So yeah, it's been exactly 1 year since I posted my first episode on March 7th, 2023. So it's very satisfying to me that I would be ending on March 7th, 2024, season one. So thank you so much if you've been listening to this. If this is your first time here, welcome. But yeah, this my Spotify Wrapped this year. It was my first time ever having a podcast that I own show up on my Spotify Wrapped. And apparently this podcast was the number one most popular podcast for 17 people, which was amazing. I'm honestly really stoked about that for 17 people out there listening, I am their number one podcast. So if that is you, thank you so much. And if you are just a casual fan or have listened to a couple episodes, thank you as well. It's really cool to have you here. This all started just out of fun. I am one of those people that can really feel like all my hobbies need to be productive, or especially if it's going to be something about trauma or something that I'm offering to the world, that it really needs to be connected to my business. And while this, obviously, I promote this on my Instagram, and I think it could be helpful for people who are good fits for my offerings, I just wanted to do this because it's fun. I think analyzing music lyrics is very fun. It's just something that I'm interested in and like doing. So the fact that people want to listen to this and think it's interesting is really lovely. And it's been super fun over the course of the year to have various different guests come on the show and talk about some of these songs with me. So today's a solo episode, but I just wanted to shout out to those guests. Thank you so much for being a part of this. And it was really fun to talk about these songs with you. Also, thank you to everyone who has left a review or a rating at any point. That is very sweet of you, and I appreciate it. So bringing us to today, what we are going to be talking about is the song Bigger Than the Whole Sky from Taylor's album Midnights that came out in 2022. And this song I am viewing through the lens of essentially mourning the loss of your childhood self as a trauma survivor. So this episode is going to be particularly potent and relevant for anyone who went through trauma as a child or adolescent that disrupted their ability to feel safe or secure or well as a young person. So I just want to give a gentle warning that this is a very sad song. It will probably be a sad episode. So please take care of yourself. If this is something that's just going to bring you down or make you feel heavier or worse, feel free to skip it. Obviously, I don't intend to make you feel worse. I would never want to, but it's just a heavy topic. And as you know, I like keeping it real. And this song is very real about grief. So I just want to be really honest with that from the get-go. So part one, when it comes to inner child healing, was the episode on the Great War, and that was really all about ending the battle with your inner child. Stop fighting your past self, and instead see that version of yourself as someone who has always been there, trying to keep you safe, trying to help you get your needs met, and is a part of you that deserves respect and compassion. Today's episode is more about acknowledging all that you may have lost due to trauma at a young age. So it's really all about grief to me. I also want to acknowledge that, and as usual, I'm not trying to actually say what I think Taylor herself wrote the song about. I know a lot of people have other interpretations of the song. It could absolutely be written about a miscarriage or loss of a person or loved one. But since my platform here is all about trauma recovery, and I'm kind of applying these songs to my own life. The way that I really interpret the song is being about the loss of your childhood self, the loss of your inner child, or all that could have been if you wouldn't have gone through that trauma. So I just want to acknowledge that you might have a different interpretation of the song, and that is totally okay. All right, so as usual, I will be reading the lyrics and then just giving you my interpretation of them. So the first verse is, "No words appear before me in the aftermath. Salt streams out my eyes and into my ears. Every single thing I touch becomes sick with sadness, 'cause it's all over now, all out to sea." So practically, clearly here she's describing the aftermath, the end of something. And to me, she's addressing the fact that youth, childhood, the past is over and it's never returning. As she's doing this, she's noting salt streams out of my eyes and into my ears, which I think is a pretty clear depiction of when you're laying on your back and you're crying and the water, the tears from your eyes are dripping down your face and into your ears. I think that really paints a picture. For me, that certainly reminds me of those moments where you're staring at the ceiling, just completely overwhelmed with that feeling of grief, and crying. And every single thing I touch becomes sick with sadness. Reminds me of when you feel like you are consumed by grief. You are consumed by this loss. It has taken you over, which I am so not here to pathologize. I am so not here to judge that. I'm really here to validate that experience as incredibly normal and human. But as she's saying, it's all over now, it's all out to sea, it is lost. My childhood, my youth is never coming back. So something I've noticed is that some survivors have a hard time feeling their age. So we either can feel so young and kind of behind everyone else, like we never really got the chance to develop into an adult, and we're sort of locked into that feeling of being much younger than we actually are. I know there's so many people that really struggle with the shame of feeling like they are behind in life compared to their adult peers. On the other side, I also feel incredibly older than we actually are. We might have been called a old soul or said that we appear or act older than we are, very mature. That is also incredibly common. And in my experience, I've definitely felt like both of these, but way more often I feel like much older than I am. And I have felt that way for a very long time. And to me, this is because when I was going through an abusive relationship, I was 15, when it began, and I feel like there is a lot of change happening in your life when you're 15. Definitely was still going through puberty in a major way and, kind of developing gradually into a woman. But a 15-year-old is not a woman. A 15-year-old, a 16-year-old, a 17-year-old should not be expected to do the things that I had to do to survive. No one should be, for that matter, but especially thinking about the age there, I did not have the brain development or capacity to really understand what was going on with me until it was too late. And I feel like that is really addressed in this song, this feeling of like, I didn't understand how bad it was until now. It's such a common experience for survivors of childhood trauma to have that trauma be incredibly normalized, especially if the things you were going through were in the realm of more emotional or verbal or non-physical abuse or neglect. It can be really hard to identify that as abuse because it becomes so normal. You think that's what everyone's going through, or you think, oh, that's just the way my family is, or that's just the way my relationship is. For me, I was really under the impression that the relationship I had with my abuser was just more mature, more adult, more deep than any other teenager around me. And this was definitely something that he kind of encouraged me to think, and I really latched on to, was just we were more adult, we were more mature than everyone else. We were different. No one understood us. When in reality, we were doing things, he was doing things to me that were really, really inappropriate for our age. And just they weren't appropriate for any kind of age or relationship ultimately. But at the time, you know, without having the lived experience with being that age, it was all too easy for me to essentially become brainwashed into thinking that the stuff that was happening was somehow okay, that it was what all adult mature relationships did, when in fact it absolutely wasn't. So for me, this song really brings that up. It reminds me of the fact that what went on then was not okay. And I feel like I only was able to really address that years after the fact. And part of that is because I did absolutely no therapeutic or healing work after the relationship for about 4 years after it was over is when I finally like went to therapy and started getting help. But even then, it took me years to truly be able to sit with the reality that this happened and it was that bad. And it took away my youth. It took away my innocence. It took away my childhood in so many ways, way too fast. So we're going to keep talking about that. But yeah, that's a little bit of my experience and kind of what this song brings up for me and some of that deep sadness. So now she moves on to the chorus, which says, "Goodbye, goodbye, goodbye. You were bigger than the whole sky. You were more than just a short time. And I've got a lot to pine about. I've got a lot to live without. I'm never gonna meet what could have been, would have been, and should have been you. What could have been, would have been you." So, as I've already been speaking to, I think here, you know, she's addressing actually experiencing profound love towards her past self, which, as we know, if you listen to the episode about the Great War, that I view through the lens of inner child healing as well, there can be times in your life as a survivor or someone that has been through an abusive relationship where you do not feel love towards your inner child. You might view them as the problem. You might view your past self as someone who was too weak to leave or couldn't just, you know, make it stop. And I was definitely there as well. But now it sounds like she's at a point where she is done fighting with that inner child and is rather seeing them as someone that was incredibly precious, someone that mattered, someone that doesn't deserve shame or hate, but really deserves to be grieved and mourned and made space for. As she's saying, "I've got a lot to pine about. I've got a lot to live without." I feel like she's really saying, "I'm allowed to feel grief over the fact that I will never know who I could have been if trauma didn't get in the way." So, addressing looking at your past self as you were bigger than the whole sky, your potential was tremendous. You could have been anyone. You had so much to give, you had so much potential. And trauma came in and took so much of that away. So I recognize that to some people, that can sound incredibly depressing. And honestly, it kind of is. But I do feel like going through this grieving process of what could have been if trauma didn't get in the way has been critical for me to move away from shame. Because shame is essentially saying, there's something wrong with you that led to this happening, or there's something wrong with you for experiencing the symptoms you experience now in the aftermath. And grief is kind of the opposite of that. It's saying, this wasn't okay. This happened to you. You never should have endured that. And I think that that could be really powerful in moving away from that shame that convinces you that you are bad and moving towards a feeling of acceptance of yourself and hope for the future. So some people, you know, really cling on to that idea that everything happens for a reason. And if that's you, I totally respect that. You know, you're allowed to believe and think whatever you think. I used to believe that everything happened for a reason and thought that that would bring a sense of hope. But at this point, I really don't think that's true anymore. I don't think there is some big reason that my trauma had to happen to me. I think it happened because the right circumstances, or I mean, the wrong circumstances at the right time, however you want to view that, I met someone who was not okay and really was looking for an outlet to spew the shame that he probably felt within. And I was the perfect vessel for that. I was super willing for that to happen at the time. I just wanted to be loved. I wanted to be chosen. And so being chosen by him was all I ever wanted. And so I kind of was, I was ready to endure anything if it meant being loved, even in some t sick and twisted way. So that's maybe the reason it happened. I don't think it has this deep spiritual reason necessarily. And to me, this song really echoes that. I think there's this reckoning with the reality that trauma is not okay. It's not fair. Maybe there wasn't any grand reason it happened. And we don't have to be grateful for it. We're allowed to miss our past selves and grieve what could have been. I'm going to talk about this the next time the chorus comes up, but essentially here, she is doing some sort of callback to would have, could have, should have, which is another song on this album that I really identify as being about an abusive relationship. So I feel like here it's this grief of what could have been, what should have been you, my inner child, what could have been me as an adult if this trauma never occurred? That is such deep grief and sadness compared to sort of this, what can feel like, I think, spiritual bypassing of everything happens for a reason. To me, that can feel like a very shallow feeling of hope. And once again, if that feels like deep hope to you, please keep that. Don't listen to me. I'm just, speaking from my lived experience where everything happens for a reason does not feel helpful to me. It feels like putting a band-aid over a very deep wound that is necessary to grieve. So moving into the second verse, she sings, "Did some bird flap its wings over in Asia? Did some force take you because I didn't pray? Every single thing to come has turned into ashes, 'cause it's all over. It's not meant to be. So I'll say words I don't believe." So here she is in that stage of processing an abusive relationship or childhood trauma or whatever. To me, obviously, it's that abusive relationship that happened when I was a teenager, trying to find the big why behind it. Why did this happen to me? And I did this for years because to me, it felt like if I could just make sense of this event that happened, if I could understand it, if I could learn all about narcissism or other types of personality disorders or ways, reasons people abuse others, then I could make sense of what I had went through. I could process it and I could, quote unquote, get over it. So I think that's what she's representing here is, did some bird flap its wings over in Asia? Kind of reminds me of the butterfly effect of like, was this the universe's will? Was this set into place for some reason? Did this happen for a bigger reason that I am a part of, that I am some sort of pawn in, that if I could just understand, maybe it would help me have peace with the situation? And the next line, did some force take you because I didn't pray? Reminds me of this question of, is it my own fault? Did I do something wrong? And I think anyone, once again, with religious trauma could absolutely relate to this of like, was I not a good enough, devout person of my faith? Was I not faithful enough? Was I not good enough to prevent this? And I think that is so painful. I was there for years, right? Not necessarily about the prayerful part, although I do relate to that to some extent, but more of, did I allow this to happen to myself? Did I cause the destruction of my own inner child? Am I the person to blame? Am I someone I should hate because I caused this to happen? I caused all this pain and suffering in my life. This is such a common thread that so many people who have survived trauma in their childhood experience, because when we are not loved by our parents or caregivers or an attachment figure of some sort, we don't often blame them. We blame ourselves because blaming the person that is in power, we understand at a certain point, will not do anything for us. It will not help us. It will not make anything better. It will not give us any more control or agency that we desperately want over our own lives. So we get to this place where we realize The only person we can blame is ourselves. The only person we can look to for answers of why this is happening to us is ourselves. And this logic is flawed. Just because we are being treated terribly by someone doesn't mean that we've done anything to cause it. It means that that person doesn't have the capacity or hasn't made the decision to treat us with respect. It's their fault. It's their decision. And yes, absolutely. Sometimes we allow or condone or permit someone to abuse us. I certainly did, but it's still not your fault. It's not your inner child's fault. It is no one's fault but the person who is choosing to do that to you. That's what I believe. And so, as Taylor in the song writes, was it part of some universal plan? Was it my fault? Either way, every single thing to come has turned into ashes. Whatever I could have been, whatever my childhood hopes and dreams were, they're done and they are not coming back. My childhood, my youth, my innocence, whatever it is never coming back. So damn, right? Like such deep, intense grief. It's all over. It's not meant to be. I think saying those words can make other people feel incredibly uncomfortable because it's so deep in despair and mourning. But to me, that is a part of the process of healing. That is a part of being alive, especially if you've experienced this kind of childhood trauma, is saying, it's over. And I have to now sit with the fact that I can never get my past self back. And it's very complicated. I feel like there are parts of my inner child that will always be with me. And yet, who I could have been if that trauma didn't happen to me, I will never get to meet her. I will never know who I could have been. And sometimes I think about that, and that's just a part of my lived experience that maybe some of my peers or my partner or my family will never have to experience. And I'm so happy for them. I never want other people to have gone through this, but I know based on my audience and the people I work with that I'm not alone with this. So please know that if you are also someone who is in the process or just considering mourning your inner child or the loss of your youth or who you could have been, you are absolutely not alone. So, the final line of this verse is her saying, "So I'll say words I don't believe." And I had to kind of think about this for a while. To me, the words I don't believe could be things like, "Oh, I'm fine. Yeah, it's okay. It was then, but I'm okay now. Everything happened as it was meant to. Everything happened for a reason." These are some of the things that we might say to other people to help them feel more comfortable. Because just sitting there being like, yeah, it's over. I have a lot to live without. I will never know who I was meant to be. That can make other people feel really uncomfortable. They don't know how to handle that. And that can make us feel very uncomfortable as well. So I know for myself personally, as much as I share these things publicly with my audience online, with relative ease, it doesn't dysregulate me to be honest about this stuff. It is very hard for me to talk about these things with even my closest friends. And that's just reality, It's something that I'm working towards, being more vulnerable, being more open, but I'm not quite there yet, and that's okay, So I try not to say these things anymore, these words I don't believe of, oh yeah, but it's fine, but I definitely have many, many times, and I think a lot of us do. And so to me personally, when it comes to this kind of stuff, I just try to notice like what happens within me as I say, oh, I'm fine when I'm really not. Rather than judging that as like bad or dishonest or wrong, I just try to see how is that serving me? How is that helping me get through this scenario? And how is that preventing me from experiencing the kind of deep connection or friendship or support that I really want? So I just try to look at it like that with curiosity and acceptance rather than judgment or, kind of like intensely trying to change. Okay, so now we're back to the chorus. I'm just going to repeat it again because it's so powerful. Goodbye, goodbye, goodbye. You are bigger than the whole sky. You are more than just a short time. And I've got a lot to pine about. I've got a lot to live without. I'm never going to meet what could have been, would have been, what should have been you. And then she repeats that over a couple times here. What could have been, would have been, what should have been you. So like I briefly mentioned before, I am noticing that her repetition of what could have been, should have been, you is calling back to the song Would Have, Could Have, Should Have, which to me is a lot about anger towards being in an abusive relationship and trying to reconcile with that as an adult looking back. And so to me, obviously, this is particularly potent because my abusive relationship happened when I was a child, when I was an adolescent, when I was a teenager, which is very complex because I think there's a lot of elements of childhood developmental trauma in there. And there's also elements of adult material, adult emotions, adult behavior, so to speak, being done at way too young of an age. So I feel like what she's saying with this repetition here is, if this person wouldn't have done it, as they shouldn't have done it, things could have been different for me. And I would have got to know who I could have been, who I would have been, if this person would have never done this to me. So this person being a parent, being a partner, being a first love, being a group, being a system, if that never would have happened to me, I could have gotten to know who I could have been. So once again, deep, deep, deep grief, right? Addressing the fact that I'll never know who I could have been if that trauma in my teenage years never happened, where I could have gone career-wise, where I could have been relationally. Right? Luckily, gratefully, I am in a healthy marriage now, but there was absolutely a chance that that could have not happened. The relationships I was in after my abusive one were not good, right? And so I'm very grateful that I was able to break the cycle, and I'm very proud of that as well. But, you know, it wasn't easy. And even this relationship that I've been in now for 7.5 years has not been without a lot of struggles thanks to my trauma. So it's like I and you, we're allowed to grieve those things. We're allowed to be upset about them. I also think this song, another way it contrasts to Would Have, Could Have, Should Have is in that song, Would Have, Could Have, Should Have, she mentions the tomb won't close. And she's really talking about how it seems like the trauma will not go away, that she can't get over this relationship, that it's so hard to just feel like it's over and at a conclusion, to feel like that there's any closure to it. But now in Bigger Than the Whole Sky, it appears that something has ended. It seems like her system has gotten a bit past that place in the trauma healing journey, where you feel like it will never end and it's never over and it'll never die. Now it sounds like she's able to see that something has in fact died. Maybe the potential, what could have been, you know, who she could have been, it's dead, it's over. And the grieving process is happening. And so while this is very, very difficult to walk through and to exist in, while this kind of work is so challenging and exhausting, to me, in the past couple of years, as I've been leaning more into this energy of grief, it is different. And in a way, it feels better than being stuck in that place of like, it's never over. You know, I'm still terrified for my life, or like, this triggered all the time because of this trauma. To me, I feel like getting to that place of being able to grieve, there is a sensation that it is over, it is in the past, it is done, and now I'm grieving what I have lost. I also think that this song and Would Have, Could Have, Should Have kind of represents two different sides of living with trauma: anger and sadness. I think Would Have, Could Have, Should Have represents a lot of anger, of just like, why did you do this to me? Why did I have to go through this? This is so fucked up and it never should have happened. And you're just kind of like that raw rage. To me, this song is way more about raw sadness and grief of just like, it's over and I lost it. And there's no sugar-coated silver lining. It's just the way it is. And so she continues and finishes up the song by repeating the chorus in a really, I don't know how to, call this musically, but to me it sounds even more sad, more fragile. Definitely gets me to cry a lot of the time. Music to me, this song in particular, has been such a valuable tool to help me process my emotions, and help me make space for this grief. Because I don't know about you, but living in the world we live in, we gotta function. We gotta pay the bills. We gotta keep pressing on and moving forward. That's all we're ever encouraged to do. And so music like this, other forms of art that allow us to recognize the very real grief and how there isn't no silver lining. There is just loss sometimes. I find that so valuable and helpful. And so that is my ode to Bigger Than the Whole Sky by Taylor Ellison Swift. Thank you for writing this. It's amazing how much she's able to cover about the human experience from all the upbeat songs she has to this, like, just absolutely devastating track that the first time I heard, I was like, dude, what is this? Like, this is so sad. Like, oh my God. And then I've just used so many times where I'm like, man, I really need to cry. And if you know me, it's very hard for me to cry. Sometimes the song really helps me get there. So thank you, Taylor, for this one. I just wanted to leave this with, not necessarily a positive note, but just some other avenues for inner child healing in case that's something that you're feeling like is relevant for you or something that you're needing some support with. So, like I've kind of mentioned throughout this song, I think it's super important to really give yourself all the time you need to grieve and mourn what you have lost, to stop trying to toxic positivity or spiritually bypass yourself into thinking, well, I need to just forgive, or, it's in the past, so I should just get over it. Like, letting go of that and really allowing yourself, if you're feeling some type of way about your trauma, that makes so much sense. And you are allowed to grieve that. You're allowed to be sad about it. You don't have to just get over it for anyone. And I promise it is possible to both hold this grief and also have moments in your day or in your week or in your life that bring you joy. I feel like I'm at a state in life right now where generally I'm pretty happy. Things are good. And grief is still there. It's very interesting to kind of live with both. And I just try to do my best to kind of navigate those waters as they arise and make space for them. And so when I say make space for grief, what I mean by that is, it's kind of intuitive or organic for me. I think it's different for everyone. For me, watercoloring really helps. I feel like there's something about, honestly, the watery paint that helps me get in touch with that grief. I also love writing and journaling. Definitely talking to a therapist or a professional is extremely helpful for me. Creating any kind of art about this. Also, movement can be so valuable, as well as release, like crying. Or breath work has been really helpful for me in this. There's so many different avenues you can go. So I encourage you to, be the seeker towards what makes you feel supported or comforted in your experience of grief, or what allows you to just be with it at all. Additionally, I also think there's really beautiful and joyful ways to reconnect with your inner child. So while this song, I think, is really grieving the loss of that period of childhood or adolescence or the past version of you that is never coming back, you can still connect with them. For me, I was a very different person before that relationship when I was 13 and 14. And towards the start of the relationship, when I still, wasn't traumatized yet and kind of had a hold on that version of me that I've now lost, that version of me was, let's see, a combination of very outgoing and goofy and some might say annoying, kind of loud and maybe obnoxious sometimes, a little hyper, a little quote unquote crazy, whatever. So I feel like a part of returning to my authentic self has been Making space for silliness, for laughter, for joy, and stop trying to be so controlled or professional all the time, but giving myself permission to just be super goofy and like laugh with my friends. Like, to me, that is inner child healing. On the flip side, as a young teenager, I was also very, let's see, emotional, maybe dramatic, or in touch with the pain of existence and existential type questions. And I was a lover. I loved very, very deeply, which kind of led me into this relationship. So reclaiming that for me can look like giving myself permission to be as quote unquote dramatic as I want, especially within my journal or the art I create. Letting myself be with the big emotions and feelings. And once again, not sugarcoating things, not finding a silver lining, but rather just letting things be as dark or as deep or as sad as they are. So there's a million wonderful ways to reconnect with your inner child. Those are just a couple that speak to me. But just know that, while you may have lost a huge part of your life to trauma, there is still time. You're still alive, and I'm not saying these things to try to bypass your feelings. I hope you know that, but I just do want to, offer some hopefulness as well. Is like there is time to create a life for yourself that can allow your inner child to feel really safe, that can allow your present day self to feel really safe, and that can allow you to feel full and whole and like a total, complete person, even with a trauma history. So I hope that makes sense. I hope that, wherever you are, you have someone or many people in your life that can help you feel safe, or you have like a pet or some connection to nature or a group that you're in that can allow you to just be as you are. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for being a part of season one of this podcast. I'm looking forward to moving forward from here and exploring other artists other than Taylor Swift. So if you're not a big Taylor fan, congratulations, we're moving on. So yeah, look forward to that in the future. Otherwise, if you are in need of any support right now, I would be happy to work with you in some capacity. As usual, I've got a lot of different things going on. I have my monthly membership community, which is my lowest cost offer, where you can be in a group setting. I have workshops from the past 2 years and 3 months on there. So there's a lot of education, there's a lot of group calls, there's different ways to receive support from me and a group of other survivors there. Soon, my Blooming Relationships course is returning with some updates. So super excited for that. More information will be coming, but you can join the wait list. I'm going to put the link in the show notes. And also, I do have one-on-one coaching. So if you are ever interested in receiving one-on-one trauma-informed somatic support from me, I would be delighted to hear from you. So you can fill out the form to work with me, also linked in the show notes if you're interested. So thanks again for being here, wishing you all the best, and sending tons of softness your way, especially if you are in this grieving process. And I hope to see you again here soon. All righty, bye.